Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How you doing this morning? Listen, I'm so excited that you're here this morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. I will never stop saying it. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. So I'm excited that you chose to do that for your Sunday morning. How's everybody doing? You doing good? How about a little bit better after worship, after prayer, after those opportunities? Listen, it's only going to get better from here. We get to see a total of 11 people get baptized today. We had 5 people at our first worship experience, and I'm excited to see life change. I'm also excited to change a little bit over what we've been doing the last like 8 weeks. And we've been in a series entitled Good News, and we've been going through the book of Mark chapter by chapter, passage by passage. And I'm excited because I think it created a desire and an understanding and a how to walk through a book of the Bible. I'm excited today because we are continuing our good news. You saw the good news bumper that was playing, but we're switching it up a little bit. I still got good news to share with you, but we're not going through an entire chapter of the Bible. We're going to go through one verse. One verse that's going to help us to see not only where we're at, but where we've been and where we're going. You all good for that ride? You ready to go on that?
Yes.
Okay, 8 people are ready. So I'm just going to go no matter what, okay? And listen, we're going like all gas, no brakes for the rest of our time together today. If you don't understand what that means, ask a young person next to you. But we're accelerating. We're moving forward. And the reason we're doing that is because of where we've been and what we've seen God do and what we're believing to see God do again. So I'm going to paint a few pictures for you, and at the end, it's going to make a beautiful portrait. We're going to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. But a few years back, actually a long, long time ago, in 2012, listen, I was born in the 1900s, so if one of you little kids say that to me, we're gonna talk. Listen, 67 people stepped out from our North Braddock campus of Bridge City Church. They stepped out in faith, and they believed enough that God wanted us to launch a local expression of His church in White Oak Borough. 67 people. 2 of those 67 just said, yeah, amen. Those 67 people believed that God could do something new. Those 67 people believed that God could do something new through their sacrifice and their willingness to serve and their willing to give to see it happen. Those 67 people had enough faith that one day you all would fill these seats. Those 67 people knew that what they were going to start through Jesus would eventually grow into a movement that is changing a community and surrounding communities and families and lives and eternity for people. That's what those 67 people believed in. I can't believe, like, I'm old enough to say, like, I was a part of this when we launched it. My great-granddaddy, Old Reliable, used to tell me that it's going to happen. I'm old enough to say that I'm excited that there are people in this room that you're going to be 10 years from now talking about today, this message, because it is a mile marker in the campus of Bridge City Church here at White Oak. It is a mile marker of what we're doing and what God's going to do through us. So we're going to celebrate all that God has done. We're going to take a moment there. A lot of you don't know this, but this was not always a church. It was actually an office building. You believe it? That was a joke. Will you laugh a little bit in church today? This is an office building that God called His church to meet in. The building is not the church. You all are. But I want to tell you a little bit about this building. This building was renovated while we had our first worship experiences at Plaza Azteca, which used to be Christina's restaurant, which used to be Guitars and Cadillacs, which used to be Gold Rush, which used to be Christina's restaurant. Lots of changes. But we met there. We took all of our equipment across the parking lot. We brought all the equipment back to the parking lot. We went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all the while we were preparing this place and what God had planned to do here. So there are prayers written on the studs of those walls. And I'm not talking about the guys sitting over there. I'm talking about the wood behind the drywall. Prayers. Prayers that one day people would meet Jesus here. Prayers that one day the parking lot outside would be too small. Prayers that one day there wouldn't be enough seats. Prayers that one day there wouldn't be enough room in this place and we would be bursting at the seams. Guess what? Those prayers that are written on the studs of those walls are being answered every single day and month and week that we move forward here at the White Oak campus. And I'm so excited that it's because 67 people had enough faith to move. Today, we get to see 11 people be water baptized total. We get to see that every baptism is a visual sign of everything that God has done and is doing. So, we're going to set the tone for today, as if it hasn't already been set. But we're not here just to reflect on the past and say, oh, the good old days. Our best days are yet to come. We're not here to reflect on those things, but we do want to bring honor to God for everything that he did through the past. And just as those 67 people believed for more, we too are called to believe for more. This is not as good as it gets. That's why today's message is all about expansion. Isaiah 54, verse 2. This verse has been a part of the DNA of the White Oak campus since the days that we walked around White Oak praying and believing for a space to meet. This is the days that we walked and prayed around White Oak Park and prayed in pavilions and prayed at different establishments that one day we would be able to be at a point where we see expansion. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Buckle up. Expansion is such a beautiful thing, and the way that we get to move forward in that is when we see the reason behind why we're expanding. We're expanding our tent stakes so that more and more people can receive and meet Jesus and grow in their relationship with him and eventually become fully devoted followers. Listen, God's been moving at the White Oak campus. We've been able to see it. He's been moving at Bridge City Church as a whole. But we're seeing lives change. We're seeing marriages restored. We're seeing families meet Jesus. We're seeing people's destiny and eternity be changed. Hell is being depopulated. That's our main mission. I want everybody to have an RSVP to the table in heaven and say, I'm coming. We're going to populate heaven and depopulate hell. That is what we're doing. Baptisms is a visible sign that it's happening. Young people getting baptized. Young people making a stand for Jesus. Young people saying, I don't want the world to be my master anymore. I'm going to follow him. It doesn't get more visual than that. It does not. So now we're going to celebrate what's going on right now. We talked about the past. We talked about all that God's done, but we're going to celebrate right now. You ready to celebrate? I feel like that's whenever they should have cued, like, celebrate good times. Go, Lord. You got to remix it every once in a while, right? Listen, God's been moving. And as we see God continuing to move through the now, we have to look with excitement towards the future. Because God does not want us to sit where we're at and stay where we're at. He wants us to keep it moving. So what's next? I'll tell you what's next. We are going to triple the size of this auditorium. And you're like, oh, are we going up? Are we taking the roof off? No, we're going to 3 worship experiences. That's amazing and exciting and phenomenal. And listen, I want you to prepare your heart. Because once I said we're going to three worship experiences, how are we going to do that? How am I going to do that? You're not. Jesus is. We're going to be submitted to him through the process. So I'm excited to share with you that we will be having an 8 a.m. worship experience, a 9:30 a.m. worship experience, and an 11 a.m. worship experience every single Sunday. Until, catch this, until we go to 4. Too soon? Too soon to do the whole 4 thing? I'm excited about those times because I was super concerned about like, oh, the 8 a.m., that's going to be a little early. I've had 3 conversations now with people that work night turn that get done at 7:30 and they can't wait to drive here on Sunday morning and come right to church. They've never been able to invite their coworkers to church because they go home and go to sleep and they work every single Saturday night turn, and they can't wait to bring their coworkers to church. I was like, God, that's confirmation enough about 8 a.m. And then I was super worried about the 9:30 because the 9 a.m. people are like, they like what they like, and they know what they like, and they have the same seat and the same reputation, all that. And I'm like, we're taking away their 9. Oh, man. And then I was even more concerned about the 10:45 because you guys are so fun and excited and happy to be here. But then I was like, they're 15 minutes late anyway, so 11. Well, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to shame the devil. It starts at 10:45. Right, Pastor?
Thank you.
Yes and amen. Now, the 11 does not start at 11:15. It starts at 11. But God is going to move so much because there are people that couldn't make the 9 a.m. because they were exhausted from working night turn. There are people that are already saying, I want the 9 a.m. back. 8 a.m. is too early. And how are we going to do this? We're going to have 3 worship experiences in the same amount of time we have 2 now. How does that work? Just move things a half hour earlier or an hour earlier, move things around, and we're going to a 1-hour worship experience. You're like, how are we going to do that? We're cutting out so much. Worship time will not be cut. The Word of God will not be cut. We're going to get tighter on the way that we communicate things. Worship and the Word will not get shortened, ever. But we're going to get it into the DNA that we don't have to give a 10-minute dissertation on how to give. Because you're going to be overflowing with the heart of generosity. But wait a second, I like the 10-minute dissertation on giving. Prove it. That was your opportunity. Amen. So let's walk through the expanding of our tent pegs. Can we walk through it?
Yes.
Let's do it. Isaiah 54, verse 2, God calls his people to make room for his blessing. He didn't say, I just want you to have a bigger tent. He didn't say, I want you to just be able to have a nicer place within your tent. No, he asked them to expand their tent so that they could receive more of the blessing that he had for them. Currently, at the White Oak campus, we have like a closet and a half, no meeting space, no rooms for those things because the kids have overtaken this place. And it's an answered prayer. Currently, our parking lot, some of you know, I come late to the 10:45 because I want to make sure there's parking. That is the worst cop-out of an excuse ever. You slept in. But we're going to expand the tent so that we can see more and more blessings come our way. More space equals more people. If you have more space, you have more people. There's 286 chairs in this room. We can't fit one more. But guess what? By going to 3, we just added 286 chairs. If I had a mic, I'd just... mic drop. I'm going to get yelled at if Nate knows I did that. We're going to stretch our tent curtains wide. Like, oh, what does this mean? Some really cool tents, like they have doors and They hide things behind the tent. We have a young man right here. He puts tents up every single weekend in bounce houses and all that stuff. If you need anything, just talk to him. He'd love to put a giant tent in your backyard. But here we go. When you open the curtain, things get revealed. And things can sometimes get really uncomfortable when you don't have the curtain there anymore. I'm here to tell you today that it is my main job. It is one of my gifts to make you get really uncomfortable for the kingdom of God. I want you to get uncomfortable. I want you to get uncomfortable because uncomfortable things cause for more and more blessing to flow in. I want more and more of us to get outside of our comfort zones. Come outside of the curtain. It gets uncomfortable whenever things change, but change is good because healthy things grow and growing things change. Now, I want this to happen so that we don't hold back. God is telling us in Isaiah 54, verse 2, don't hold back. Don't shy back from things that God's calling you to do. I don't want to hold back. I want us to have radical faith. I want us to believe radical things. I want us to believe that we will not lose one child to the world, the kids that are being raised up in Bridge City Kids, that we will see every wayward child come back home, that we won't see one student fall to the things that the world is trying to do within them and wrestling for their identity. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But I want to have radical faith that this is going to be a place where the next generation and the generation of now can say, this is my church. And I'm not going to hesitate in doing that. And we're not going to hesitate in making 286 more chairs to pier by saying we're meeting one more time. And listen, we're going to be done before we're done now. It's amazing. Last thing, strengthen your stakes. How do you make sure the tent is strong? By people that are serving and sold out for the vision that God's given them and their church. Listen, we don't need you to fulfill God's vision. We want God's vision to fulfill you. Flip the perspective. The enemy, oh, they just want people to serve. They just want people to do this. They want people to get uncomfortable. Yeah, we do. Why? Because when you serve with a group of people, when you get into other people's boats and they get into yours, amazing things happen. Let me tell you an amazing thing that happens. A scared, depressed, broken little boy from McKeesport met a girl and then met Jesus, and now he's your pastor. And that's all because he served on a team. Teams and groups work. You're going to serve. Guess what else you're going to do? What we've been built upon within this church, we're going to give of our time and our treasure and our talent. That is the foundation that your church has been built upon. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But we want you to be anchored deeply in everything that God's called you to do at Bridge City Church. Here we go. How do you have strong stakes? You have people like Chuck and Dee Quinter who served at this church and they're the first people and the only people within the church that Pastor Keith Tusey had to go to and say, hey, Chuck, you're giving way more than you make. What are you doing? How are you doing this? We got to give you money back. He's like, you're not going to rob me of my blessing. Okay. And Pastor Keith was like, I know what you make. He was like, but now you know what I give. That's the foundation that our church is built upon. Our foundation is built upon the Larry Paladin seniors and Sally Paladin. The ones that would believe and care and believe for you and enforce things in your life and encourage and empower and equip. Guess what our church is built upon? Our church is built upon the Maxine and Roy Youngs of the world who would pray for you no matter what you said. That's what our church is built upon. I never heard Maxine and Roy say, oh, I'm not serving. I don't want to give. You think Randy is just a really nice guy that hugs everybody and remembers everybody's name at the front door? Randy is carrying on his dad's legacy. Yeah. Randy's Roy. I can't wait to see Randy in one of those electric scooters rolling around North Versailles like his dad Roy did. Roy and Larry would skitch on everybody on their own electric wheelchairs through Wilmerding down Airbreak Avenue. You think I'm kidding? I got videos. Two 80-year-old men holding on to each other's electric wheelchair because one of them broke down and the battery died, and they're going down Airbreak. That's what your church is built upon. Those types of relationships, those types of anchors. So when I say that we're going to expand our tent bags, we're not going to hold back, we're going to do this with excitement, it's because I know what God's done, I know what he's doing, and I know that he's going to do it again. I think I deserve a drink of water. Why are we doing this? Because we're on a mission. It's not because we just, oh, it'd be really nice to do this three times. I just have so much more buildup energy. I just need a spot for it to come out. No, we're doing this because we're on mission, and the mission is to populate heaven and depopulate hell. And we're going to make more room again and again and again and again for people to experience him. Baptisms, like today, remind us that eternity is at stake. Every worship experience, every time we gather, eternity is at stake for somebody's lives. You have no idea what the people to the left of you, right of you, in front of you, and behind you walk in here with, but you all know what they could walk out with. The heart behind the change of this. I was not sitting at home one day and the elders and pastors called and said, we think that we should get really inconvenienced and go to three worship experiences. No, you guys are a visible sight to be able to see why we're doing this. It's not about convenience. It's about being called to the mission of Jesus Christ and to see more and more people meet him. This is not convenient. It's not going to make us comfortable. Listen, hear it from me. I got home at 2:30 a.m. last night, woke up at 5:30 a.m., got here, prepared two bags to baptize people at the first worship experience, second worship experience, and then get to preach twice. This is not convenient. Normal people don't choose to do this, but guess what? None of you are normal to begin with. This is us answering a calling of God on our lives that we're going to serve the kingdom and see heaven populated. That's all it is. Well, how am I going to get home for the Steeler game? The Steeler game has never started at 12:30 noon. Ever. Ever. It's 1 o'clock or 4:30. Or if they're playing somebody good, they play on Sunday or Monday night. See what I did there? We'll get better. We're going to get better. This is going to require sacrifice from each and every one of us. It's going to require flexibility. It's going to require faith. I'm going to ask people, hey, will you commit to go to the 8 a.m.? You get up at 4 anyways. Will you commit to serving and pouring your heart out and giving at the 8 a.m. worship experience? Then I'm going to ask people, hey, can you be a part of the 9:30? Because that's going to be the one that people invite friends to and flock to. And it's just naturally going to be that way. And then I'm going to ask, will you commit to be at the 11 a.m.? I'm going to ask people to get uncomfortable and be flexible and change their calendar based upon the calling that God's placed upon us as his church. I'm going to ask you to sacrifice, because sacrifice always produces fruit within the kingdom. Always. When we sacrifice our desires, our wants, and we submit to him in obedience, fruit is always the result. We talked about that last week with the disciples and Jesus feeding the 5,000. If they didn't walk away in faith that they were going to find some food, the blessing would have never came. Listen, Jesus made room for us, so we're going to make room for more people. I'm so thankful that Jesus made room for me and for you and for us. I'm so happy that his word says in my Father's house there's more than enough room. And I'm so thankful we get to share that this place, us walking on earth, is not the finish line. We're living for eternity. And that's the Father's house I'm trying to go to. This is just like an off branch of the real hotel. Right. think about the resort in heaven. You ever dreamed about like what heaven's going to be? Have you ever prayed about this? We're gonna get things that just cause us to want to worship him all day, every day. There's going to be no sickness. There's going to be no disease. There's not going to be anxiety. There's not going to be fear. There's not going to be worries about today or tomorrow or the past. None of that. And I'm believing that I'm going to have like a Texas Day Brazil area of my area in heaven. Bruce is going to come over, and then Benedetti and I are going to go ride bikes on a golden street path, and then we'll golf. I'll drive the cart. I'm retired. Dislocated shoulder. Today's baptisms are a sign that there's always room for more. Always. There's always room for more people. There's always more room because God's house is always being expanded. So I'm going to ask you guys something totally unashamed here. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to let it rip the next 5 minutes here. I'm going to ask you to serve. I'm going to ask you to understand that every single one of you has a role. And every single expanded tent requires for strong stakes and people willing to serve and be used. There is a role for all of us. Every single one of us has a role. And listen, this is not a church expansion. This is an us expansion. God's going to expand us. He's going to call us to levels we're not comfortable with. He's going to call us to levels of new flexibility. He's going to call us to new things. And it all requires willing hands. This is not a Bridge City church thing. This is an us thing. So I'm going to talk about the opportunities for you to serve in. And I'm going to put some extra emphasis on these teams. Bridge City Kids. We're asking for people that are going to be willing to serve and raise up the next generation. Donna Colella is sitting in the back left-hand corner of the room, and she wasn't here during the first worship experience. She was upstairs with the kids. Donna Colella has poured her whole life out for the kids of this church. Generation after generation after generation. Some of them are married now and having kids and on the cusp of grandparenthood, probably. Donna Colella is not somebody that needs to be scheduled and told that she's going to be in the children's room. Donna Colella is somebody that needs to be told to go sit in the worship experience because she wants to be with the kids all day, every day because of who she is. So here's my question. Who's the next Donna Colella in this room? Or Donald? Guys can serve in children's ministry too. I got my start there with my bride. I love children's ministry. I wish I could. Listen, we'd change rooms. We'd be up. We'd have that children's ministry so popping. We couldn't be on the third floor if I was up there. I got yelled at the one time. They called the cops. I'm telling you the truth, honest to goodness truth. Who's the next Donna or Donald Colella? You're like, who's Donald Colella? That's the dude version of the Donna that I'm talking about, okay? Bridge City students. Yeah. Come on, boy, I've been waiting on this. Who's the next Bridge City students leader that is going to encourage and empower and equip teenagers that are walking through some of the heaviest stuff that you've ever heard about? Who's going to be the next one? Who's going to be the next one that's not only willing to pour out their time on Sundays, but on Wednesday nights and then every night thereafter? Because guess what? Kids require a lot of time. And so do students. They require a lot more money. You know why? Because they like Taco Bell and they like chicken wings and they like pizza spots and they like doing things late. So if you're going to sit here and say that you want to be a Bridge City students leader, get ready, drink some coffee, because they're not even ready to do nothing till like 8. I'm ready to sleep at that point. Kennywood just canceled their 21 and overnight, which I think was wisdom, but I think they should have like a 35 and overnight. like open. That would be so nice. You know how slow it would be and calm. And not everybody that would be there wouldn't want to be there anyways. They would much rather be at home. Imagine 35 and overnight. They'd have to have like a modium. But those opportunities to serve in Bridge City students, you're going to have the opportunity to walk young people into an understanding of who they are. Because if we don't walk them through it, guess who is going to? The world. And the world's going to wrestle with them. The world's going to break them down. The world's going to beat down their identity. The world's going to beat down their worth. The world's going to try to form them into something they weren't created to be. And the world is going to do that if we don't lead our students in that. I'm believing and have always believed that we won't lose one child to the world. And guess when it starts happening, 6th through 12th grade? They need strong leaders around them, people that have made it through and people that are going to encourage and empower and equip them and help them to understand. Be like, oh, every generation, we had it worse than them. No, we didn't. I went to school and went home. And if somebody did something negative or said something negative, I'd have to deal with it again. They go to school, they come home, they got to deal with Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all this stuff where the bullying just keeps happening. Trying to rob them of their understanding of who they are. Who's the next Bridge City student that's going to be led by a leader that cares for them? Here we go. Welcome team and cafe. Oh, that's just greeting people. How's he going to make this one exciting? Here we go. You ready? Bruce, I'm going to use you, okay? Well, you know what? I'm going to use my bride since I'm talking about Sally Paladin, not Sam Paladin, okay? Here we go. This is Sally. Come on, stand up, babe. Everybody, clap for Rachel. She deserves it because she puts up with a lot. Pray for her. Okay? Every single week. Come on over here. We're going to go over here. We need more room. Rachel, Sally. Every single week, Sally was on the welcome team. First time I walk in, she shakes my hand. She says, have you found Jesus? And I said, no, I haven't, but I'm going to go look for him. And I walked away because I was so nervous about that interaction. The second week, same exact thing. I walk in, Sally Paladin standing there. She said, hi, sweetie, how are you? Have you found Jesus yet? And I said, no, I can't believe we're still looking for him. And I walked away because I was so nervous. The third week, I was so excited to walk in and see Sally Paladin because that night I gave my life to Jesus at 12:03 a.m. in my room. I cried out to God. And I said, Jesus, if you'll have me, if you'll take me, I'm yours. I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I couldn't wait that third week to walk into the welcome team member, Sally Paladin, and say, Sally, I met Jesus. And she jumped through the rooftop. She was so excited. Who's the welcome team member that's going to be the Sally Paladin or the Roy Young that's going to stand at that corner and greet people and remember their name and be excited when they see him moving forward in their walk with Jesus? Who's the next one? Randy's not tired, but we need another Randy. Randy, I love you, but listen, man, Roy didn't go forever. He had his little wheelchair thing. Listen, we're all promised eternity. I can't wait for it. Who's our cafe team member that's going to serve you a cup of coffee and encourage you and know your name? Who's the next Don Kemper of the world that serves sacrificially to make your coffee? On Fridays, she's here making your cold brew. You're like, wait a second, there's cold brew? Yes, there's cold brew that she makes on Fridays so that it's perfectly steeped for 36 hours before you walk in here. And you get to enjoy good coffee. Well, it's not about coffee. Listen, he brews. Yeah. That's what he said. Who's going to be the next prayer team warrior and response team? Who's going to be the people that are going to encourage and empower and equip people up here? There's people that are praying for you every single day of the week. They gather at 7:30 a.m. every single Sunday, soon to be 7, to pray for you. Who's going to be our next worship leader or production leader? Who's going to be that person? Who's going to be somebody that's on our usher team that creates an environment of excellence and encouragement and sets the table for you? There's a horrible tragedy at a Catholic school this past Wednesday. Two young people lost their lives. 14 people were injured. It's heartbreaking to think that that person that did that, their mom worked at the church. And then they left the church because they were angry. I'm so thankful that there are men and women that create such an environment of excellence and safety within this place. And I'm so thankful for that. But who's the next usher team member that's going to be somebody that's going to set the table and make sure that there's no distractions so you can trip into the arms of Jesus every Sunday? Who's the next person that is going to be on the events team? There's event after an event after event. You love being a part of those things. Who's going to be that person? Who's going to be the next Bridge City 101 team member that's going to help somebody take their next step and find out how they can be an active and growing part? Like, newsflash, it's all of you. It's going to take 98 people more for us to have three worship experiences fully staffed and fully functional. 98 more people. And you're like, that's a lot. We're never going to be able to do that. How are we going to do that? Well, we currently have a list of about 86 members and regular attenders who aren't serving at all. So here's my math. We just need 12 people. We need to believe Jesus for 12 people because you all are already here. Let's fill it. Let's serve our hearts out for Jesus and his kingdom. 98, 86. I got faith for 12. I got a lot of faith for the 86 that aren't serving, that are here every week, week in, week out. Some members that aren't serving, I got great faith for that, and these are the places that you get to do it. Who's going to be that person that's going to raise up the next generation in Bridge City Kids? Who's going to be the person that takes the generation of now in Bridge City students and helps them walk in their true identity? Who is going to be the next welcome team and cafe team member that creates a warm environment that welcomes people and knows them by name? Who's going to be the next worship or production team leader leading people into God's presence every single week? Prayer and response, helping people take their next step closer to Jesus, creating an environment of safety in the usher team. Who's doing it? Who's going to do it? Us. Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. It's completely opposite to what our mindset is. Our mindset is I'm going to consume over and over and over and over and over again instead of contribute. We don't want a whole room full of consumers. We weren't called to be that. Jesus didn't model that for us. So what's our next steps? What are we going to do? I'm going to ask that you, until we get to the point where we set our official time of our three worship experiences, that you pray and process how you can be a part of them. I'm going to ask that you serve, that you join a team, that you commit to growing into that role that you want to be a part of, that you strengthen the stakes of the tent and you help hold it up. I'm going to ask that you invite. That you invite people into what God is doing and has done in your life. Just invite people. And don't be weird about it. I've been inviting people for, it's going to be 21 years in January. Never once was I weird about it. I'm weird, but I was not weird about the invitation. You don't need to do that either. Bring people to experience Jesus. And we have three times for them to do it. I'm going to ask that you stay flexible or you get flexible, one or the other. Randy doesn't have to get much more flexible, spiritually speaking. That was a joke, spiritually speaking. You're supposed to catch that. Just went right over your head. He can get more flexible physically. So we all can. But spiritually speaking, maybe you're not flexible. Maybe this is my way. This is what time I come. This is what time we go to brunch. This is what time we got to get home for Golden Girls. I stopped and paused because I almost went into the Golden Girls theme song, and I knew it would be my flesh, not honor. But if somebody else wants to sing it, feel free. Thank you for, no. Here we go. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If you're being water baptized, you can go ahead and get prepared to be baptized. We're going to meet in the back hall. So if you're being water baptized, you can go ahead and do that. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Your past. But also saved from your future without him. Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I'm so excited that some people in this room, it is your first step to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and turn from a life without him. That's your first step. And I'm so excited about it. But if you're anything like I was, you're afraid of everything that's going on around you. The people in front of you, beside you, behind you. What are they going to think? So I'm going to help remove that. You good with that? I'm going to ask that everybody close their eyes, bow their heads. And I'm going to pray a prayer that I want everybody to say it, because if there's just one person saying it, or two people saying it, or three people saying it, guess what? They might not say it. But if all their brothers and sisters in this room say it with them, guess what? It creates a little bit more comfort and safety. So I'm going to ask that everybody repeats after me and says, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And you rose again so I could have new life. Jesus, today I confess to you and ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I turn from my old life and I choose to follow you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a new beginning. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you never received him as your Lord and Savior before, but you just got to pray that prayer with so many other people in this room, I want you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done and just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that was me. That was the first time I ever prayed that prayer. That's the first time I ever repented of my past and asked you to lead me into my future. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven is rejoicing about two new daughters that accepted their place and their identity in Jesus. Anyone else today? You prayed that prayer for the first time in great faith that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's going to lead you into a future and give you a destiny and eternity. Anyone else? That was the first time you prayed it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? We're three. Can I get four? Come on, Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and who we were created to be. Lord, I thank you for every hand that was raised, every prayer that was prayed. And God, I pray that as we move forward, we would all fully understand what it means for you to be Lord and Savior of our life and leader into our future. Lord, I pray for what you're doing here at the White Oak campus and as Bridge City Church as a whole. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead us, guide us, feed us, protect us, and help us to see all that you have planned to do in this place and through this place. Lord, I pray for every person that's going to sign up to serve today at the Connection Point. Lord, I thank you for the faith that takes to step out. I thank you that we're committing to pray daily for your expansion of the kingdom. God, I pray that somebody would get invited this week, that next week they would meet Jesus. In Jesus' name.